Well, we're going to take a break from Philippians this morning and talk about moms. So it's always a fun day, and I'm excited to be able to do that. I'm so thankful for my mom. And anyhow, this is a lot of fun. So if you would just turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. That's what we'll be going through this morning. Proverbs is like close to the middle of your Bible, right after Psalms. Very last chapter, Proverbs 31. And we're talking about how mom is a genuine hero. So in order for us to start, what I would like you to do, I don't know if you have paper, you wouldn't have to do this on paper, but the idea, the thought would be for you to think of someone that right now you think of as a hero in your life, okay? Someone that you would like to be like. It's someone that you could imitate. Who would be a hero in your life? And just jot that name down real quickly if you could. All right. Very good. Everybody got one? All right. So now if you could, think back to when you were really young, like maybe 10, 12, 14, 16, just a very young person. Try to remember a hero, that someone that was a hero for you then, and jot that name down also. I know that's more difficult, but just think back. So you have two heroes on the page. All right, I see a lot of people smiling. This is always an interesting exercise, I think, because sometimes, I would actually think probably most of the time, the two names that you have on your piece of paper represent vastly different points of view on life. They're just sometimes polar opposites. Why in the world do you think that is, that those two heroes are so different from one another? Choose a hero in your life now, and the other one was choose a hero when you were very young, like maybe 10 to 15. Yeah. Any other thoughts about why they're so different? Maturity. Yeah. Yeah. And those are some of the same things I was thinking about. You know, it's got to do with us. You know, we've changed over time. We've become more mature. Our value system may have changed. We've gone from superheroes to real people. But the difference is us. And that's one of the things that's so interesting to me about this chapter, because if you look at verse 1, Proverbs 31, verse 1, it's written by a king. It's a young man who's become a king. He's by the name of King Lemuel. And in this chapter, we get to look at, from my view, not everyone would agree with me, but I believe he's talking about two of his heroes. And the very first one is his mom. And of course, we don't know who King Lemuel's heroes were when he was a little kid. But now that he's grown up, now that he's become a king, mom is one of his heroes. Look at what he says in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. Now, an oracle is generally something that you've received from God and you're supposed to pass it on to others. Some people translate the word burden. So it's the same idea. You've gotten a burden from God, and the thing that you're trying to do with it is pass it on to others. But this is something that he's gotten from his mom, and now that he's king, don't know what he thought about it when he was really young, but now that he's king, he's realized how valuable this is, and he wants to pass it on to you and me. So it's like mom's one of his heroes. And my mom, of course, she wasn't perfect. I can think of plenty of things going on in mom's life that were challenging. But boy, is she one of my heroes. Great, great lady. So let's just pray together before we read through this chapter and think through what King Lemuel and his mom are saying. Lord, we thank you that you give us examples. We thank you for the people who have gone before us. Our moms, our dads, our pastors, our community leaders, our teachers, Lord, so many have paved the way for us and poured into our lives. And Lord, this morning, we just thank you for them. And Father, I pray that we will just be like King Lemuel and realize the value of what these people have said to us and be changed by it, Lord. I pray that even this morning, as we look at your word and the things said here, that you would change us and work in us. We thank you ahead of time, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so let's look at what King Lemuel has to say, what is actually what his mom has to say, because she starts speaking in verse 2. What, O my son? And what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my vows? It's really kind of an unusual verse, isn't it? I was thinking about it this week and thinking, wow, is that just poetry? Or why did she say that? And I believe that she probably said that as I've meditated on it, because she's wanting to communicate to her son that what she's about to say is something really important. Notice she says, what, oh my son? Okay, well, if you're speaking to your son, you're usually trying to say something important. She goes on to say, oh son of my womb. So she's speaking to the individual who has come right out of her own body, which is what only a mom experiences. And what, O son of my vows? In other words, she's saying, I'm speaking to the person that I have made promises to God about. You know, almost every mom that I know, at some point, it seems like after they had their child, they're like talking to God about it. And they're like, okay, Lord, I thank you for this precious little life, and I'm going to do everything I can to instill things that are right and meaningful and just awesome in this little person's life. And so that's where I think this mom is. And then she goes on to give King Lemuel three interesting pieces of advice. The first one is in verse 3. She says, do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. That's always been, at least for a long time, that's been a hilarious verse to me, because our son Phil adopted that as his life verse for a long time. What's your life verse? Proverbs 31:3. Don't give your strength to women. And of course, you know, we're all like, okay, I guess he hadn't met that perfect one yet. But that was Phil's attitude for a long time. But you know, this has got more to it than you might think. Because actually, a lot of people think that King Lemuel is actually King Solomon, that this is kind of like a pen name for him. Of course, we don't know it for sure, but some people think King Lemuel is King Solomon. And man, Solomon's life got wrecked by how many wives? I forget, like 300 wives, I believe, and 700 concubines. He had like 1,000 women in his life, and the Bible says that they stole his heart from God. And so, and not only Solomon, but I mean, even in our day, when you think about it, men can really get tripped up by women. Now, I think the opposite can happen as well. But the whole issue of pornography, the whole issue of just the craze about sex in our society, you know, our society almost presents it as there's nothing else, you know, that even comes close. And so, piece of advice to this young man, don't give your strength to women. And see, it's kind of like an addiction for some people. And her next piece of advice has to do with an addiction as well. Look at that, verse 4. Thank you. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink. They will drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. So, and of course, we use drugs for people that are dying, people that are in pain all the time now. And we see that that is a merciful thing because pain is just so bad. But her piece of advice is, here's a second addiction, my son, that you'll do well to avoid. Good pieces of advice. Of course, now he's become king and he's thinking about those things and he's going, man, this is so true. So true. I mean, think about the New Testament. We have the same challenge. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And the idea there in the book of Galatians, Ephesians, one of those books, the idea is, listen, alcohol will control your life. Don't be under the control of alcohol. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let God lead your life. Totally different pictures of life. Don't be caught by these addictions, but give your heart to Christ. Similar idea here. But then she goes on with a third piece of advice that kind of turns the corner. Verse 8, she says, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. So, wow, here's this mom, three great pieces of advice. Don't become addicted to these things, son, but give yourself for others. It reminds me so much of Philippians that we're going through, the whole chapter 2, give yourself for others. Give yourself for others. And that seems to be her advice here as well. And so he's found these things valuable as a king. And I think it's a very simple formula that we can find valuable for our lives as well. It's easy to be addicted to stuff and not as easy to give our lives for others. But in the next verse, Solomon goes on, we're not sure it's Solomon. King Lemuel goes on and I believe starts talking about a second hero in his life, which is his wife. Now, not everyone agrees with this. Some people think that this is actually a continuation of his mother's advice, that his mom is now telling him, okay, son, here's the kind of wife you should choose. Other people think that this next section, from verse 10 to the end of the chapter, is a totally separate piece of literature that's been added on at the end here. And it is indeed its own poem. I don't know Hebrew personally, but as I understand it, starting in verse 10, they started the first letter of each verse is a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it works its way right through the end of the chapter. But I personally still think it's probably Solomon writing for a number of reasons. Solomon wrote half of the book of Proverbs. He was great at poetry, and Proverbs is Hebrew poetry, and that's exactly what this is. And finally, I think he's honoring his wife. I think his wife is one of his heroes. And it just reads like someone who's remembering what happened down through the years and is remembering their wife. I'll give you an example. I think I could have written this chapter about my wife. As I think back over our years together, it's just like I could have written it. I'll just give you an example. Well, this is just a little bit of my story. When I was like beginning the ninth grade, of course, you know, that's right around the time when you start to like girls and you're starting to notice that all the guys like girls and they're starting to pair up and all this kind of thing. And I was scared silly about this, okay? I was so nervous about this. And so I had become a Christian previously and no one told me any better. So, they said you should pray about stuff. So beginning of the ninth grade, I said, okay, Lord, I want you to show me who's supposed to be my wife. And I was serious about this. And so I prayed about it a lot. And so I started looking around. I'm like, okay, I wonder who it is. And I remember right around the middle of the school year, right either before or after Christmas, I don't know the exact day, but I'm sitting in science class, earth science, Mrs. Wax, my favorite science teacher ever. She was a great teacher. Actually had the class under control so that, you could learn something. Skinny little lady, Anyhow, moving on. I'm sitting in science class. The door opens, and here stands this skinny little girl with black hair and dark eyes and her mom, I believe it was her mom, being introduced to our science class. And I'm going, huh, I wonder if that's the one. Well, as it would happen, her last name is Shelton, and we're seated alphabetically in this class. So SH comes immediately before SI. And so she's seated in the right in front of me. Now, you couldn't talk. You didn't get away with anything in Mrs. Wax's class, okay? So it's not like there was all this, you know, extreme fraternization going on or anything. But occasionally we would get a we'd get a little break, you know, a couple of minutes break. And so Kathy would turn around, and we would play paper football on the desk between us. That's how we got to know each other. And we would start hanging out in the hall before school. You know, you get there before school. And so she had this little friend called Tootie. We nicknamed her Tootie. And we would all hang out together and talk before school. And so I think by the end of the 10th grade, I had decided this is the girl I'm supposed to marry. Now, the only problem was she had decided that she was never going to get married. Now, this was a small fly in the ointment and created, you know, quite a deal of distress for me. But I was patient, and the Lord took care of this problem for me. But just the incredible thing is that down through the years, I can think about Kathy, and I could have written this chapter. I will comment briefly as I go through, but I just want you to think through it with me. And listen, I'm talking about my wife. I'm not trying to get you to fall in love with my wife. I'm trying to get you to fall in love with your wife. And I am so convinced if you will look back and think about your sweet girl, you will see a lot of stuff in here. I just encourage you to do that as we read through. I believe he's remembering. Here we go in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Interesting, she's like into real estate, right? And then she takes her earnings from real estate and she invests them in something that blesses her family. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. Those two items have to do with weaving fabric. She extends her hand to the poor, stretches out her hand to the needy. She cares about needy people. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. This lady looks ahead and makes preparations for the future. They're clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. This lady is beautiful. She's desirable to her husband. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I personally believe that this means that part of who her husband has become is because of his wife. Her support, her counsel, her input, her comfort, her touch have changed him over the years. And part of who he is, it comes from her. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. I love that one. She smiles at the future. This woman is a woman of faith, a woman who trusts God, and she has been responsible, and she has made preparations, and she has worked hard. And all of those things allow her to look ahead and smile because she's living by faith. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. We've been talking a lot about, like last week, gentleness. And of course, we've been talking about kindness. That's part of who this woman is. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, sometimes I hear people ask, you know, well, what, you know, if a mom's going to stay home all the time, what in the world is she going to do with her time? Oh, my word. My wife worked much harder than I did. It's incredible. Run circles around you. She's not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I think those are important words to look at. Charm and beauty are often something that young men are looking for when they're looking for a wife. And interesting, it says here that charm, what is charm? It's like, you know, they always know the right thing to say. They can attract a crowd. They are like a politician. You know, a charming person can just kind of charm their way through any situation. Well, I'm not saying it's necessarily bad to be charming, but it can be deceitful, can be things might be different when you get home at night. It's not always the bottom line. And beauty, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. You know, beauty, as they say, often is only skin deep. So there are some things that are more important than these things, and this lady has them. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So this woman is, she's satisfied with what she's accomplished for the Lord. And she's not looking for fame and fortune, but she's satisfied with what God has given her. I think it's a beautiful chapter. So, why read this chapter on Mother's Day? Well, I think in a lot of ways that's obvious. But I wanted to throw out four ideas to you about why I think it's good for us to focus on things like this. Why look at this chapter on Mother's Day? Number one, I think it puts our minds in the right place. You know, we're getting ready to look at Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Philippians 4:8 is a fascinating verse. We'll be there in a week or two. But basically it says, finally, brethren, whatever is right, whatever is honorable, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things, healthy things. And that's what this chapter is filled with. It puts our minds in the right place. It's easy to be negative. You won't find that in Proverbs 31. It's easy to get our values mixed up. Like, is it beauty and charm that I'm after? No, it's a woman who fears the Lord that we're after. And I think it's also easy to get stuck on just worldly needs, you know, stuff down here. But this woman is a woman who fears the Lord. She brings that spiritual element into their family. She honors God. She loves God. She fears God more than many of these other things. So, number one, this chapter, I think, puts our minds in the right place. Number two, this chapter gives us an opportunity to be grateful to our moms and our wives and thank them. You know, and as I already sort of mentioned, I think this, for us guys, this is a great exercise. Just go back and remember and just thank that special person in your life for the blessing that she is. So it gives us an opportunity to be grateful. Number three, this chapter helps men look for the right things in a wife, and it helps wives aspire to be a godly wife. Of course, we have the extreme in our day, the feminist movement. But even just without the extreme, even just general atmosphere, our world values such different things than God values. And so this chapter will just help us aspire to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And number four, I think, is really kind of already included. But taking moms as modern-day heroes helps us keep the right kind of models in front of our eyes. So who are our heroes? Right? Not the flashy ones, not the rich ones, not the boastful ones, but moms, the ones who have learned to be selfless, givers, generous, industrious, gentle, strong, kind, caring, the kind of person God created us to be and Christ gave his life so that we could be. And moms are so often such good examples of all these things. So looking at the moms in our life, looking at chapters like this in our life, I think just keeps our minds there in the right place. Lord, I just thank you for my mom, now going on to be with you. I thank you, Lord, for her many prayers for me, for all the sacrifice, all the incredible things she did for me through all those years. Thank you for my wife, too, and the blessing that she is to me and just how you've used her in my life. Lord, I thank you for the many incredible ladies right here in this room and the great things you have done in them, the amazing people that you have made them to be. Lord, I thank you, too, that you're not done with us. We still have room to grow, a ways to go, years to serve you. We thank you for that privilege, and we just commit ourselves to you, Lord, and I commit these ladies to you. I pray for your blessings on them, Lord. Pray that you would just fill them mightily with your Holy Spirit and make them strong examples and strong witnesses for you, a great support to their husband and leaders for their children. Lord, down through the years, I know that we're starting to learn that when the kids move away, you're not done. There's still opportunities and responsibilities and the privilege of serving our children and loving them and relating to them in a whole new way. And Lord, how I thank you. And we just collectively pray this morning, Lord, that you will keep on steering our lives for your glory. And we thank you for it. Lord, we just are looking and smiling at the future because of you, Father. Amen.